Hey, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to this week's message. My name's Aaron, and I'm on the staff team here at Eastlake. Everything we do around here depends on the generous donations of our local and online community, people just like you, who tune into these messages and see great benefit from living that idea that life is a gift and love is the point. So if you love what Eastlake is up to, we'd encourage you to contribute by going to eastlakecc.com. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
I'm going to invite my friend Kristen up. She's going to kick off our 2020. She's such a gift. I think every time I think of Kristen, I just get calm. I feel at home in my heart, and I'm just so thankful that she encourages me to be me. And so welcome, my friend Kristen.
Thanks, Lenny. Any sense of calm is just a facade. It's just a facade. But I'm working on it. Welcome to Eastlake. Like Lenny said, my name is Kristen. I'm glad that you're here today. I'm glad that we're here in 2020, and I'm excited to be sharing with you today. I wanted to start off, first of all, with something that has nothing to do with my talk, but more of some family business. So for those of you who call Eastlake home, this is for you. And I think a great deal of you, a great number of you already know this, but last week, our founder, Ryan Meeks, and his family moved to Encinitas, California. And to those of you who know him and have been around, that's probably not a surprise to you. He's often spoke of his love for California and eventually wanting to be there, his disdain for the weather here. And he's also was taking some classes and doing school down there. So, yeah, we talked about, too, whether this was even like an announcement that needed to be made, because for most of you, I don't think that you will notice this change. He, for now, he's still planning to continue the role that he has had here at Eastlake, just doing it from a different location. All of us on staff do this in a part-time capacity, and so we are all working to kind of figure out what else do we want to do with our lives. And so that's just something that I think everybody here should know if you don't already. He will still speak. He's scheduled right now for the same number of times he did last year. He'll still manage our speaking calendar and invite people to speak here on Sundays, and we'll still contribute to our leadership team. So I think he'll still be here occasionally on Sundays where he isn't speaking. He's gonna be here for the Enneagram weekend with Chris and Felina, and his daughter goes to UW, so you will for sure see him. So just wanted to make sure you guys knew what was happening. So if you hear that from somewhere else, if you haven't already, we wanted to make sure we said that up front too. And I can say personally, Ryan is one of my close friends, and I am thrilled for both of them. And I think what you want for your friends is to live happy and healthy lives. And I think that this change in scenery will contribute to Ryan and Michelle's health and happiness. And so I hope that we can be people who always, always want the best for the people in our lives and wish them honestly well as they pursue it, wherever it may take them. So wanted to be sure you guys knew that. Okay, so it's the start of a new year. You guys made it through the holidays. It's 2020. Maybe you made some New Year's resolutions. There is a lot to celebrate at the beginning of the new year, but nothing more important than the fact that I am turning 40 on Friday this week. Yep, it's the big 4-0. I know I look stunningly younger than that. Which used to be true until I had my daughter 2 years ago. And I don't know if it was her specifically or just having multiple children, but no one has carded me since. Until yesterday, I got carded yesterday, and I was like, why, yes, of course you can have my ID. But I am a true child of the 80s. I was born, obviously, 1980. Just before this, Aaron Sternke and I were talking about he was a child of the 80s and a teenager in the 90s like me. And for him, that was like Kurt Cobain and dark eyeliner. And for me, it was Rachel Green, and the Friends cast was, and like the Rachel haircut and things like that. I would say you can know for sure that I am a child of the 80s, because the only show I watch right now is the Friends Complete Series DVDs that I have at my house. I've never seen Game of Thrones. I don't know how to stream or download or anything. So I'm not normally a big birthday person, but I've decided this week that because I'm turning 40, I'm here for it, as the young people would say. So I thought I would spend today talking about some of the things that I learned in my 30s and that I'm grateful to be carrying into this next decade. Hopefully some things we can take with us into 2020 and beyond. And I've said this recently, and I've said this before here in this context, that most of my 30s was intertwined with this place. I interviewed in January after I turned 30 and started working that spring, and my life has been somewhat defined by this place. I met my husband, we dated, got married, had two kids, rode the ups and downs with Eastlake, and so I also want to try to incorporate some Eastlake vision as well. Who are we? What is this place? What are we trying to do? So I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited. So I wanna start with a story that happened in our house towards the end of the year. And it has to do with an image that I saw on the internet, and it caused me a ton of anxiety, and I wanna share with you about it, and I'm not sure if you know it, but I wanted to show you, it starts with this image here. And if you're listening to the podcast, I'm showing a picture of a shoe, and I don't know if you guys saw this, and I don't know if it actually translates on the big screen, but I saw it online, and a friend said, ask your family or ask your spouse, what colors do they see? And I was like, what do you mean? That is very obviously a gray and green shoe. And then without any context, I showed it to my husband and I said, what color is this? And he goes, pink. Why? And I lost my mind. So I just want to see, I don't know if it translates. How many of you see a gray and green shoe? How many of you see pink and white? Ah! Oh my gosh, it worked. Okay, so a majority of the room sees pink and white. I see gray. Show me your gray and greens again. Yes, thank you. I love all of you. Let's hang out afterwards. So my husband just says pink and white, and I'm like, what is happening here? And I was like, is he just mean and messing with me? Did he already see this? Is something wrong with his brain? Does he have an ocular tumor, and now there's something crazy going on? And after he very nicely convinced me, and very patiently convinced me, he was not messing with me. He literally saw pink and white. I started to cry. And I was like, how can the world be so cruel that two people can look at the same thing and see things so differently? How can the world be so cruel that people can look at the same thing and see it differently? So I want to talk about that today. So I grew up in a religious setting, not my parents, but the religious setting that we were a part of, that valued absolute truth. And I didn't feel good about myself unless I was being guided by the absolute truth. And it was helpful for someone like me, an Enneagram 6, which, by the way, I'm super excited for the Enneagram weekend. I hope that you guys will consider joining us. But for an Enneagram 6 who looks for safety and security, having absolute truths tell me which way to go and what was right and wrong was really, it was a really helpful way to live my life. It was a helpful way of seeing things and a helpful way of doing things. And I used to get super annoyed when I would hear people say, speak your truth. Because I was like, how about we just speak the truth? If it's the truth, then it's not yours, it just is. And it used to really bother me. But in the last decade, and I would say in 2019 more than any other time, I've become ever more aware of the fact that truth is not as concrete as I would like it to be. The truth was, I saw gray and green. The truth was, my husband saw pink and white. So which one of us was lying? What was the actual truth? National Geographic's Brain Games host, Jason Silva, commented about this in actual relation to the internet thing about the dress. There was a similar thing, I'm not sure if you saw it, but there was a dress, same thing, some people saw gold and white, and some people saw black and blue. The same situation, and this is what he wrote. The largest takeaway is that color exists in your brain. It's not an objective feature of reality. We don't see the world objectively as is. We see the world through the lens of our preconceptions, cultural operating systems. Reality is coupled to perception, so change perception, you change reality. Whatever situation people were in when they saw the picture of the dress, it changed their perception of the dress. And then he continues, you never have a direct experience. You never experience an objective reality. Your brain is shielded from the world by this box that is your skull. All it's doing is receiving signal and interpreting it, like a cable box does for a television. What you call the world is more like a TV screen in your mind. What you call the world is more like a TV screen in your mind. So I read about this shoe, obviously, because I couldn't let it go. And it turns out that the majority of people see pink and white. And the minority of people see gray and green. And I was so certain of what I saw. I was 100% certain, yet in the minority. And that messed with me. And I just think what it showed me very clearly was that truth is not as real as we'd like it to be. And yes, of course, there are some absolutes in this world, but not that many. And that does and should affect a lot. So with that in mind, with a picture of a shoe in your head, I want to talk about some ways that I want to approach this year and ways that we approach things at Eastlake. And I hope it's fun and I hope it's helpful. So let's do it. Okay, so the first thing is be wary of those who claim absolute truth. In other words, let's foster a healthy skepticism. Now, that might not sound like the best start to a new year. Let's all be judgy and not believe people. But what I'm talking about is the healthiest kind of skepticism you can drum up inside of you. Let's use our brains. Let's read detailed journalism from multiple sides of the issue. Let's use critical thinking to figure out what do we really think about something, and then let's look at another side of it and see if that changes. Because when you let skepticism push you into education, you become a much more informed and hopefully open-minded person. You see different points of view and you learn to hold things a little more loosely. I think this is especially important in religious or spiritual settings. We would be wise to use a dose of skepticism when anyone claims to have absolute truth and absolute understanding of something as big as the word God. When anyone claims to understand the universe, let's be a little bit skeptical. Let's question. And hopefully you've noticed at Eastlake, we're not going to be claiming anything like that from the front. We're not talking that we have absolute truth about anything, and we don't bring other people in who do that either. And we encourage you, be skeptical of what you hear here. You can talk about that quote that I just read about the TV in your brain and disagree with it. I'm not sure what I think about that yet, but I've never considered the fact that what I see as reality is actually a TV screen in my mind. Discuss it afterwards, talk with people, decide you agree, and then read about it, and decide you disagree, and then change your mind again. That's what makes this place so unique. You don't have to agree to belong. We encourage skepticism and challenge and dialogue between ourselves as staff members and between all of you. But most importantly, when it comes to today, I want to encourage us to be skeptical of ourselves. I think we need to train ourselves to not assume that we are right, which is an unnatural thing for our brains. Our brains want to quickly filter things as right and wrong. It's a survival technique from evolution. We used to have to decide, is this safe or not safe, right or wrong? And if we went the right way, we didn't die. And if we went the wrong way, we got eaten and we were dead. And so hopefully people learned before us, that's the wrong way, go this way. And that has morphed into a permanent mode of operation where we just immediately filter things as right and wrong. And I think we need to check ourselves. and even doubt ourselves and ask, what am I not seeing? It's that kind of skepticism that I want to focus on for myself in 2020, to become a person who questions myself first. And I'm not saying that confidence and assurance are bad things and are not things that we should have. I'm just wanting to make sure that my first thoughts and feelings are not what I determine to be right away. That my first thoughts and feelings don't give me instant confidence. And our world is full of people who seem to have instant confidence. That's my term anyway. And I want to caution ourselves towards that. If anything, the shoe taught me that even my own instant confidence sometimes isn't warranted. So because of that, number two, allow yourself to be wrong. In other words, let's foster humility. So I want to do a little exercise. I'd like you to repeat after me. I was wrong. I could be wrong. I might not be right. I may have gotten that wrong. It's very, very low energy. Let's try that again. I'd like you to repeat after me. I was wrong. I could be wrong. I may not be right. I may have gotten that wrong. Good. Good job.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Eastlake Podcast. This is Ryan with a quick interruption. We'll jump back into the message in just a second. Once again, just wanted to say thank you to so many of you who are continuing to contribute. Many of you who don't even live anywhere physically near us. There's no geography that unites us. What unites us is this growing awareness that life is a gift and love is the point. And this crazy dream of cultivating a community that doesn't center around theological or supernatural agreement, but instead says, ultimately, a community of people who journey towards becoming love, that could actually make a difference in the world. So thanks for being a part of that. Thanks for contributing. If you haven't yet, but you find these messages helpful to your life, consider making a donation. Just hop onto our website, eastlakecc.com, and you can make a one-time or an ongoing donation there. So thanks for considering that. Thanks for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Let's jump back in with the message.
Now, okay, so of course, I wasn't exactly wrong when it came to the shoe, but I for sure thought I was right. But even Vans, the shoe company, confirmed that they do not make a green and gray shoe. They do, however, make a pink and white one. So if there is any place where I need to grow, it's this. And I probably need to do some therapeutic work on why being wrong is so hard for me. It just is. And my marriage and all of my relationships would greatly benefit if this was something that I chose to work on in 2020. I say as I look over at my husband in the back. Peter Gadd, actually, who's on staff here, has taught me a lot about this, not because he's wrong all the time, but because this is like a practice of his, and we're on the leadership team together, and we've had many, many conversations about things happening at Eastlake, and our phone conversations, always Peter's like, okay, this is what I currently think, but I'm open to being wrong. Let's talk about it. And then he's always really quick to say, okay, yeah, I changed my mind. I disagree with what I said 5 minutes ago. Let's do this. And I just think it's so fun to have a friend like that in my life who always starts things out with, I think I could be wrong on this, but this is what I'm thinking right now. Let's talk about it. And I just think, wouldn't it be great if everyone had that sort of attitude in their relationships? If people approached life with this is how I currently see things, but I'm open to being wrong and changing my mind. What do you think? I think that would open up great conversations for us. And from an Eastlake standpoint, I hope you know, we reserve the right to be wrong about everything that we do. We're not claiming any sort of expertise at all. So if we can all approach this place and our lives knowing that people have the capacity to make mistakes and be wrong, we will be a much more gentle and kind community. And doesn't that sound nice to be a part of? A gentle and kind community. Even from a leadership perspective, I'd love to say open and clearly that we will make decisions that you disagree with. And I hope that you can expect that, so when it happens, you're not as disappointed as you could be. Having an expectation that things go perfectly, anywhere and especially here, is going to let you down. So let's be humble enough to acknowledge that we don't do things perfectly ourselves. And so our expectations on other people should match accordingly. Number three, not just allow yourself to be wrong, but acknowledge that there might be another way or ways of seeing things. In other words, let's foster curiosity. Now, honestly, it might be easier to just be wrong than curious. Because if you're wrong, you can just say, well, I was wrong, and there's a right, and now I think the right thing, and then you're over. But what about the middle ground? What about the gray truth area? I just realized that gray, like the shoe. What about the gray truth area? That was only funny to me, but I had that moment. How can we change that from being something that is scary or enraging to something that is interesting? And I think many of you probably already find differences in viewpoints interesting, and curiosity might come more easily to you than it does to me. But I know that there are people out there who are more similar to me, and so it needs to be said. My son is actually a great teacher for me in this, and any of you who have had kids or spent time around kids will understand this. He's four, and everything is like so curious for him. He's like, why? How did that get to be there? Who did that? Where did it come from? How do you know? Where did we get that? And then he also has this amazing imagination to come up with like his own answers to the questions of like, maybe that excavator was brought down from the mountain by an airplane and he dropped it at the airport to dig that hole. And I'm like, maybe, I don't know. And I just think that if I can learn to really honestly wonder about things before coming to my thoughts and conclusions about them, I think I would be better for it. I'm trying to retrain my brain to do that, to ask, I wonder why they did that. Or I wonder why someone thought that was a good idea. I wonder how that came to be. I used to be fond of the saying, there are two sides to every story. And now I prefer to say that there are multiple or infinite sides to every story. Rather than two sides, I now see the world and people and experiences like a prism. So I see people and things like from this angle, I see that. But if I look over here, I could see this. But on the other side, it kind of looks like this. And just having that mode of operation opens up all kinds of possibilities. Even this week, I don't normally do this, but I made my husband read this last week. And like multiple times this week, Andy's been like, it's like a prism. It's just like a prism. We're watching the news and he's like, it's like a prism. You know, you just never know which side you're looking at it from. And I'm like, it's true. It really is true. And I love Ryan Meeks, our founder, used to always say that every viewpoint is a view from a point. And I'm learning to see things that way. And I'm learning to find what I see intriguing and interesting. I'm teaching myself to be curious rather than fearful. Like with the shoe, I'm trying to rewire my brain to find it interesting that we see things differently. I think that most humans prefer a simplistic view of the world, not a complex one. It's more work to recognize the complexity of things that we're looking at, the complexity of people, the complexity of relationships, the complexity of history and experiences. And my hope is that as people who attend Eastlake, you can hold curiosity as a priority and that you can allow for things to be complex. Be open-minded to hearing different perspectives on stage and wonder, why did we invite this person? Or why did they make that decision? And then ask. I always appreciate people who ask about things that they're curious about. Number four, hold space for people who see things differently than you. In other words, let's foster grace. New York University clinical assistant professor of psychology, Pascal Wallach, also wrote about this shoe phenomenon and the dress, and I wanted to read you what he wrote. Our assumption is that we see basically the same reality as everyone else. Therefore, if I see it one way and you see it another, I assume you're wrong. And since we simply assume that our eyesight shows us reality, it can be deeply unsettling to learn that there's no consensus on reality. I think the same thing, more or less, applies to social and political questions. We take our experience at face value and fill in the rest with assumptions that are based on prior experience. As people's experiences will differ, disagreements abound. As people's experiences will differ, disagreements abound. When you teach yourself to be curious, it's easier to have more grace for people who see things differently than you. You can wonder, I wonder why they see it that way, and then actually allow yourself to answer. And when you do that, grace can abound. Because you recognize other possibilities. You recognize your own heritage and biases, and you make allowance for the biases of others. It's just a much better way to live in relationship with people, right? Recognizing we're all doing our best with the lenses we were given and the way we were taught to view the world. And our world is in need of people who graciously give allowance for differing points of view. And to not break relationship when we encounter those. I wish it wasn't so hard to do. I wish in our culture, our politics, our religions, and our communities, I wish it was easier for everyone to have grace for each other. I hope Sundays at Eastlake can be a training ground for all of us on what it looks like to approach people with grace first, with the assumption that everyone is doing the best that they can, with an assumption that there are reasons behind why people do what they do. And honestly, what would it look like to approach all people in your life with an attitude of, I think there's probably a reason and maybe even a good one why they did that? Your boss, your child, your spouse, your parent, your neighbor, your friend. I think there's probably a reason and maybe even a good one for why they did that. Now, surely, there are not good reasons for everything. But if we can train ourselves to hold that kind of space for people, that kind of grace, it will make us better. And then number five, look for the gift. In other words, let's foster gratitude. Remember what I said earlier? How could the world be so cruel that we could look at the same thing and see it differently? After all of the things I've just said and worked through after seeing this damn shoe, I would like to say that I think I've gotten to the place of thinking, wow, isn't it amazing that we can all look at the same thing and see it differently. Over Christmas, I showed this picture of the shoe is now a favorite in my phone. I show it to everybody. And I showed it to my nieces over Christmas, and all three of them were sitting right there. And I said, what color do you see? And they were like, gray and green. They all said gray and green. And they looked at me like I was like, what is she doing? And then my other sister walked through the door, and I said, what color shoe is this? And she goes, pink. Why? And my nieces lost it. They thought it was hilarious, so fun. They just went around showing my phone to everybody. They just naturally thought it was fun, not scary. And if you let it, the different ways we see a shoe can be a beautiful thing to be thankful for. The way we all see the world differently can be a beautiful thing that we are thankful for. In the same moment, I can see my daughter as a wild, tantrum-throwing girl, and my husband can see a beautifully fierce, unstoppable girl. I can see the world as a scary place, doomed to destruction, and my husband can see beautiful history and humanity's potential. And vice versa. My husband can see a driver who is a moron and making terrible mistakes, and I see a parent trying to pass their child a snack while changing lanes. My husband can see the difficulties of friendship, and I see a history and loyalty that could never be replaced. I can be, and often am, annoyed that we see things so differently. Not just him, but all people. All people can annoy me with the way they see things. But I'm learning to be thankful for it. The more time we spend together, the more I'm face to face with humans, I recognize how beautiful it is to stand face to face with people and know that we can't possibly see the same thing because we have different histories and biases and experiences and DNA and retinas and brain functionality that all weave and tie together in unique, never repeating ways. And I hope that we can be people who embrace those kinds of differences with gratitude for the people in our lives, that we can see the gift that others are and be thankful for how they see things. I hope we can be a community, this Eastlake community, that shows immense gratitude for each other, that we see each human in front of us as a gift, a prism through which to see the world and see what reflects back to us. If there's anything that this community is trying to do moving forward, it's fostering these kinds of things in our lives and hopefully letting them spread to those around us. Things like skepticism and humility and curiosity and grace and gratitude and a whole plethora of other things. If you want to know what it is that we are doing here, what we are doing here, it's that. We're trying to create environments and give tools that help us all grow into those kinds of people. Whole, healthy, thankful, beneficial to our world. So I hope you'll join me at Eastlake and in your own life in becoming that kind of person. Our community and this world needs more of them. Would you stand with me? Now I recognize, as Phoebe on Friends would say, this is not brand new information. This is not brand new information. You have heard all of these things before. I'm guessing you've seen so many things on social media about being grateful and being graceful and having these things be a priority in your life. And I just want to say I recognize that. This is not groundbreaking things. But as humans, we need to be reminded of the things that we want for ourselves and the things that we want for each other. So I hope that as we head into 2020, you can be reminded that you are a gift, that life is a gift, and that love is the point. Thank you for being here today.